The U.S. has added 28 Chinese organizations to a trade blacklist. This over China's alleged abuse against ethnic Uyghurs in China's western region of Xinjiang. Since 2016, China has detained up to 1.5 million Uyghur Muslims and other ethnic minorities. Beijing says the detentions are a counterterrorism measure. The Chinese government also claims its detention centers in Xinjiang are actually vocational training centers, and that most of the people held there have been released. A lot of these detainees have families living in neighboring Kazakhstan, and NPR's Emily Fang traveled there recently. She found a very different story than the one the Chinese government is telling.
I'm struggling to get at this Soviet-era walk-up to meet Aiboja Jonibek. Born in Xinjiang, she's now a Kazakh citizen and a full-time homemaker caring for her four children.
Her sister.
Underneath her domestic tranquility, Jonibek is hiding a story of pain. Her immediate family still lives in Xinjiang. Her mother and sister were detained last year because they are ethnically Kazakh and practicing Muslims.
My mother was just sentenced to 20 years for being religious. She is being held in Urumqi Women's Prison No. 2.
Jonibek's mother, Nurjana Jumakhan, can briefly video call her husband from prison twice a month.
My mom looked so thin, according to my dad. She was nearly blind, and she was completely shaved.
Her sister, Kunikai Jonibek, fared better. She spent 7 months in a detention camp making towels and carpets for no pay. Until this summer, she was released and is now in Urumqi, Xinjiang's capital. She has a state-assigned job, but can't leave Urumqi without permission. Every aspect of her life is still controlled, even the most personal of decisions.
She got married recently, but had to ask for permission to marry. Can you imagine having to ask for something like that?
What Jonibek's mother's imprisonment and her sister's release encapsulate is a significant shift currently underway in Xinjiang. In July, Xinjiang authorities said most detainees had been released. Here's Akin Tunyaz, Xinjiang government's vice chairman, using a euphemism for the detention camps.
Most people who received educational training have returned to society and returned home.
This September, NPR interviewed 26 relatives of ethnic Kazakhs and Uyghurs currently detained or imprisoned in Xinjiang and five former detainees. They described how they themselves or loved ones had been sentenced to prison. These sentences have allowed Xinjiang officials to claim the population at the so-called vocational training centers has gone down, but not because everyone is being released. It's because many of them have been sent to more formal prisons in Xinjiang.
It was a closed court trial. They just read the verdict to him, according to his parents.
Shakadam Mamanova is Uyghur. Her husband, Noor Maimati Yiming, was sentenced to 17 years in prison in May. She suspects it was because he took Islamic doctrine classes when he was 14, but neither she nor her in-laws can be sure.
No one ever explained to us why he was even detained.
The prison sentences seem to target Muslims who exhibit religious behavior. 23 of the 32 people NPR learned had been sentenced to prison in Xinjiang recently were religious students and imams, or simply prayed regularly. 27-year-old Bahadati Akin is being held in the same prison as Mamanova's husband. Akin was sentenced last June to 15 years with an imam and at least five other students for studying the Quran. Here's his aunt, Gulbaran Omarali.
He was 13 when he attended 2 months of religious courses. I do not understand why something so long ago and which was legal at the time is now a crime.
Relatives said their loved ones are sentenced in brief, closed trials where they are not given a chance to defend themselves or present their own evidence. Ergali Ermekuli is a Kazakh man who was sentenced in April 2018 to 3 years for downloading WhatsApp and traveling to Kazakhstan.
They did tell me I could hire a lawyer, but based on cases of other people in the detention camp, those who hired lawyers were given longer sentences because it was seen as a sign of opposition to the state.
Ermekuli was one of 2,000 Kazakhs released in December 2018 as part of an agreement between Kazakhstan and China. But he says his life was destroyed because of his imprisonment and the emotional and mental trauma incurred. His wife divorced him this year.
I came back to Kazakhstan, but I have nothing.
But prisons aren't the only place detainees are going. Some are being released. But even when they are, they live within the strict confines of a surveillance state. They must report their weekly activities and get permission to travel between towns. Aydarhan Salamat's aunt, Maniarbek Maria, is one of the many ethnic Kazakhs sentenced to prison this year. That's put Salamat's mother under scrutiny. Once she left town for a funeral without public security permission.
The public security bureau called my nephew within an hour, demanding she come back. At checkpoints, my mother's identification card sets off alarms. My mother is 80 years old.
Relatives desperate to learn more about loved ones in Xinjiang are turning to a new potential source of information. The slow trickle of ethnic Kazakhs born in Xinjiang who can now get Chinese passports to travel to Kazakhstan. Muslim Xinjiang residents were effectively banned from getting passports starting in 2016. But as authorities wind down detentions, vetted Kazakhs can visit family abroad, as long as they leave loved ones as collateral in Xinjiang.
If you don't return, the guarantors will suffer.
Gusera Kazik explains how those who travel must name guarantors, like friends or relatives, who are punished if travelers don't return or meet people they aren't supposed to. Kazik says a relative who insisted on meeting her secretly told her her brother-in-law, Rahman Uli Zarkain, was sentenced to 3.5 years in February.
My relative was forced to sign a document while crossing the border not to visit me.
Nurzat Yermakbai's Chinese relative completely avoided visiting her in Almaty this August because Yermakbai is petitioning Kazakhstan about her brother, an imam in Xinjiang sentenced to 11 years in prison.
Now we're in this difficult situation where our families are separated and cannot communicate with each other, even in Kazakhstan, although my brother is innocent.
Her relatives are gripped by such fear, they asked her to stop petitioning. This is what China has done, Yermakbai said. It turns your own family against you. Emily Fang, NPR News, Almaty, Kazakhstan.